Let's make it happen, Captain.
From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
And I'm Gov Maharaj.
And welcome to Defrag.
Larry, you're looking kind of a little worse for wear.
What's my exercise program. Yeah. Yeah.
Your exercise program?
It is. It's called Sliding Down a Gravel Hill.
Oh.
So, yeah. It started as biking. It ended as sliding down a gravel hill.
Were you trying to emulate a Nitro Circus video clip again?
Something like that. It wasn't that elegant. They're, okay. They're much more fluid in their movements. But and it didn't end as sliding that hill. It ended with a tetanus shot and stitches and lots of other stuff. So yeah, a little sore, but we'll do this anyway. So the big news recently is Ballmer's leaving.
Yeah, it's 12 months from now, a year from now, apparently.
Yeah, sometime in the next 12 months.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting change for Microsoft. I mean, we haven't had a transition, obviously, like this since Bill Gates left.
Yeah, and we hadn't had a transition like that before that. So it's really very, it's a new Microsoft.
Yeah, and it'll be very interesting.
Besides yourself, who do you like for CEO?
Oh, I don't think I'd want that job, frankly.
You'd be so good at it, though.
I have enough stress to deal with.
Yeah.
That would
you're
be very stressful.
You're angry enough already. You don't know what you're doing. You don't need to be doing that.
I honestly have no idea. I mean, somebody from outside the company, perhaps.
Yeah.
It's a
tough headcount to fill.
Yeah, it'd be probably the toughest in the entire industry to fill, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Some new blood would, you know, be an interesting change. You know, someone from the inside, of course, you know, would be welcome as well.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting year. I mean, how they do the transition plan. You know, I'm sure Steve will want to be hands-on still for that year, and you know, see what the company looks like transforming into the services and devices company, or is it devices and services? I never know which one is first.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to, you know, what the company will look like. You know? It's a great time to be here.
It is. It's going to be very exciting. If I was picking someone off the top of my head, I'd pick Jay Allard. I heart Jay Allard.
It's an interesting choice.
Yeah. All right. Let's get show started. First question from Dor. I have an issue when I connect my corporate network for my home PC. I use Checkpoint VPN to do that, and it works fine. But every time I close the browser and reopen it and try to connect to the corporate internet, I have to re-enter my credentials. It doesn't happen on my work laptop. Does it have anything to do with my home PC that isn't on the corporate domain? Is there a way to solve this? I've obviously check the credentials checkbox, and I saw in the credential manager that it has the credentials stored.
It's interesting. It may have to do with the Checkpoint VPN software, which is going to be different from your corporate environment. But something that you can check to see if it's enabled, oh, that's interesting, is whether or not you can actually use the stored credentials in your intranet zone. So if you go to security and you go to your local internet zone and you check the custom level, there is a setting here for cache credentials. Takes a while to find.
I've noticed you're not quite as fast on that little remote control keyboard as you are on a full system.
Well, I'm still getting used to it. I've only used it a few times.
Yeah.
So.
Needs like a scroll wheel on the side.
It
like
does.
An old Sony phone.
It does need a scroll wheel.
This is riveting TV.
Here we go. Automatic log on. User authentication. I should have scrolled to the bottom.
Okay.
It's where I remember it being. What you want to do is make sure that this is checked for automatic logon only in internet zone or automatic logon with current username and password.
Yeah.
You want to make sure that prompt for username and password is not checked. And you also make sure that anonymous logon is not checked.
Mm-hmm.
But check that if you're using IE. If you're using Chrome, I'm sure that there's a setting in there for saved passwords as well.
Yeah. Okay. Next question from David. While I was using IE, I noticed that a pin tab option like Firefox or Chrome has for options or has for items that you leave open, such as news readers, social network, web, email, etc., is noticeably absent. I'm aware you can pull a page out and pin it to your taskbar so it becomes a faux application. But is there a way to get this functionality without the taskbar clutter? It's already a feature in IE. Oh, is it already a feature in IE 11 preview? I'm unaware of.
So there's a couple of things. If you're talking about the desktop IE, there is of course the favorites bar.
Yeah, that would be my choice.
Right. So I mean, you can either choose, you know, favorites right here, or what you can do is enable the favorites bar, and if you choose the view favorites bar, then you can just add them across to the top.
That's what I do, and then I make the names as short as possible, like C9 or Mail or something like that. And it lets you put a lot more of those icons across top of the screen, and they're always there. There's certain sites I'm always going to, so that's my preferred method.
Oddly enough, if you're in the modern browser, what you can do is go into IE. You can, for example, choose this, pin to start.
Yeah.
Or add to favorites, and you know, you'll have your row of favorites when you're typing in the modern browser.
Cool, okay. All right, from Andre, why does 8.1, Windows 8.1 require the CMP XCH G16B CPU instruction? This caused some issues with VM tools like VirtualBox.
So that's the compare exchange.
That's what I was gonna say.
Right, instruction. And basically it's because we've updated our compilers. Mm-hmm. And to take advantage of new features in processes.
Yeah.
It's actually not exactly a new feature. It's been around for many years. It lets us optimize our code better. So we basically said we require this for, you know, modern PCs.
Mm-hmm.
And it's actually not that great of a requirement. And as you noted, it's an option that you can turn on in VirtualBox and the various virtualization software.
Yeah. Okay, from Robert, it seems every few months I get an update from Microsoft that fails. It's been a real pain to troubleshoot them. There seems to be many fixes on the Microsoft side. It would be nice if Microsoft would consolidate them. The last one, the DISM failed, and I had to run a script someone on the TechNet site put together. I think I did over 4 fixes for Microsoft and TechNet before I found a fix. The update service needs to work, so it shouldn't be this buggy. For a reference, the last error number was 800-737-12. The failing update was KB280-5966. Could you guys do a show on techniques on how to troubleshoot update issues? They seem to be reoccurring every few months. I've tried SCF, DISM, Update Diag, and 3 executables from Microsoft Knowledge Site. Are there any other ways? Well, as far as like drilling down on an entire show on how to troubleshoot update, we have a sister show for that. We have a spin-off called Defrag Tools, so we could certainly do it on that. But your take on this?
Well, unfortunately, on that particular machine, so much had been done. I don't know what actually was the initial cause of the failure, especially if it's had multiple failures and if he's run multiple scripts and multiple tools on it, mm-hmm. depending on where they came from.
Yeah.
For each and every Windows Update failure like that, we definitely need the Windows Update log in order to drill down what is the actual cause. Because while you might have an issue with a particular KB, it could be something previously that was running that actually caused that future failure to happen.
Yeah.
So we really need to see the log in order to drill that down.
Yeah, and this is one of the reasons why you want to check that box and share your information with Microsoft to help us troubleshoot these problems. Those are the types of things that we look for. When you have a billion people using your software, 1 in a million problems happen 1,000 times a day. So this is the reason we're here. And so give us all the information you can as soon as it happens before doing a bunch of fixes. And let's see if we can get through this.
But he actually did bring up a good point in that the various troubleshooting options should be consolidated.
Yeah.
We will actually look at doing that.
Yeah. And he also had a fix for his problem, so if you have a similar problem, let us know. We'll put in the show notes. All right, next question. The search bar feature in Windows 7 Explorer doesn't work. When I'm in a folder with the file named file.txt and search for file, it doesn't find anything. It never finds anything, really. How can I resolve this?
what you want to do is turn on your indexer. If you go to Computer, Control Panel, go to, where is Search? Indexing Options, here we go. Go to Advanced. You can rebuild your index, make sure that you have the various file types that you're looking for as being indexed.
Yeah.
Change it to index properties and file contents if that's what you want. And you can troubleshoot search and indexing, which will run the troubleshooter for you.
Cool. Okay. Nice. All right. You going to let that run go, or are we going to continue on? All right, let's do next question. I have some music that doesn't have album art on them. What's the easiest way to add album art and change meta tags like genre? Well, I'd like to do a couple things here. I'll name my favorite. You name your favorite. But I would like to hear from other people what's the easiest one that they like, because there might be a lot better one that I'm not using. Off the top of my head, my favorite would be Music Monkey. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty simple. It lets you search for album art, and you can apply it to like multiple at once and stuff like that. What would be yours?
I use Music Brain's Picard to do that. It will run through all of your files, suggest it for you, fix up the file names, add in the ID3 tags.
Nice.
And add all in the album art that will embed it to the file itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like iTunes capable or compatible.
Yeah.
You know, if you're using it on your phone, it'll display the album art there as well. And it's, you know, it's pretty simple to use and it's really comprehensive. There's multiple databases that it can look up. If you're ripping music CDs, it'll take it off the CD ID and look it up in the CD DB.
Yeah. Nice. Okay. All right, next question. I accidentally deleted files and emptied the trash bin. Now I want to undelete those files. Is it possible? Maybe.
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 Yes. If it hasn't been overwritten.
The first thing I would do is shut that system down, yank that hard drive out. That's absolute first, because anything you do might change the answer to that.
Maybe. Right, because as you keep using the system, files will be overwritten.
Yeah.
Especially if you're short on disk space. So don't do a defrag, don't do any kind of optimizations. Just basically shut down the machine, don't hibernate the machine, shut it down. I really like the R tools, Undelete.
Okay.
And it's free for home use.
Yeah.
Which is really nice. I have a bunch of different utilities, but the R-Undelete is actually a pretty good one, and it works obviously with NTFS, which is why I like it.
Okay.
And they update relatively often.
Yeah. I would say SpinWrite, but that will show how long it's been since I've had a disk problem, because SpinWrite's not the biggest, most popular one anymore.
I remember using it back in the 90s.
Oh.
I haven't used it in over a decade.
Yeah.
So I actually don't know what it is capable of doing anymore, but I'm sure if they're still around, they may still be around, that they are, you know, still doing the same stuff or they're doing it better.
Well, this is testament to my good data practice, my good data backup practice.
Is that you've never had to undelete anything?
Well, the last time I lost a lot of data and lost a hard drive was the day Princess Diana died, unfortunately. Two bad things happened the same day. But yeah, it's been a while for me, so.
Yeah, I actually can't remember the last time I've ever needed to do any kind of recovery for something because of the amount of backups that I've got.
Exactly. And after that happened, when I lost that hard drive, I mean, I was kind of broken up about Diana dying too, of course. But after that happened, I was like, this will never happen again.
Right.
And so that fixed it. So, all right, there you go. Next question. I need to check a computer form factor, desktop, notebook, all-in-one, remotely, using the command through the command prompt, PowerShell or VBS. Is there a way to do such a thing, Windows 7, Windows 8 systems?
You bet. There's actually WMI that you can use.
Okay.
And it's a pretty basic script for, you know, anyone that has used WMI before. The system enclosure class will usually tell you what it is. Now, unfortunately, the OEM has complete choice as to what they set up in their BIOS, which will report to WMI. So I've noticed on some of the large
all-in-ones. What is WMI for?
Windows Management Instrumentation.
What's that?
Windows Management Instrumentation.
Nice, okay.
The problem that I've seen on some all-in-ones is that they'll report as a laptop.
Yeah.
So it is not 100% foolproof, and unfortunately there is no 100% foolproof method without like looking at the machine.
Yeah, okay.
The other problem is, like, what do you consider to be a laptop? Like, is a Surface a laptop? Is it a tablet? It's got a keyboard. There's many laptops out there that are detachable. Mm-hmm. So it's really, what it is, are you trying to make a determination on, like, what decision are you going to make based on that?
Yeah. And what's the difference, like, between a 9 and a 10?
Well, with a tablet, it basically is, you know, one that has a touch screen, that has a pen interface, probably does not have a keyboard attached. It's primary use would be a tablet.
Yeah.
And then a laptop is, you know, your traditional clamshell.
Okay. I see a couple there that say laptops. I'm wondering, is there a difference between laptops, or is it just there's several numbers for each?
I believe it's just several numbers.
All right. Fair enough. All right. And pick of the week time. Pick of the week. And this is one you sent me. And we talk about this every once in a while. And I always say, you know, I wish, because with your little keyboard there, mm-hmm. For a Bluetooth keyboard anyway, I always say I wish I had a keyboard that would let me switch between all my Bluetooth devices, like my phone, you know, my tablet, whatever. And this is it.
This is it.
You sent me this in the middle of the night. I was thrilled. I jumped up out of bed. Hallelujah.
It was like well past midnight that I sent you this one, wasn't it?
I think it was, yeah. But I looked at it right away and I was stoked. So this is a Logitech Bluetooth keyboard.
Backlit,
very nice. And it has three different buttons up there. They'll let you click to connect to three different Bluetooth devices.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that they're all, well, two out of the three are Windows. All right.
But that's
we'll take two out of three.
It just says how versatile our ecosystem is, right?
Exactly.
You know, you get one keyboard, it connects to everything.
Yeah.
You know, ROS is compatible.
Yeah, I like it. So
and it's actually not very large. I mean, you know, judging by the
the
hands, you're talking about, I don't know, something pretty wide.
Fits in a nice bag, I'm sure.
Yeah. Nice
so
and portable.
I like this. I like the idea of being able to split between different devices quickly. So yeah, I'm a big fan of that, and $73, not too bad. That's a pricey keyboard, but you know, that's not too bad.
Nah, it's not bad at all.
Awesome. All right, that is the show for this week. If you have questions, you can email us at defragshow@microsoft.com, or you can leave comments in the show notes, so we'll get back to you there. But we like the email for the back and forth.
Take care.
See you next week.